Ahoy, authors! You're listening to the Writership Podcast, a show focused on helping indie authors master self-editing skills. So come aboard and get ready to find the treasure in your manuscript with hosts Leslie Watts and Clark Chamberlain.
Welcome to episode 85 of the Writership Podcast. I'm Leslie Watts, here with Clark Chamberlain from The Book Editor Show. Every week, we show you editing in action with tips that you can use to improve your own stories. If you want to learn more about the Writership Podcast, you can visit the website at writership.com/podcast.
As you may know, the Writership Podcast is brought to you by the good folks at Author Marketing Club, home of the new and improved Amazon Reviewer Grabber tool. You know you need high-quality reviews for your books, so you should use the AMC Reviewer Grabber tool to quickly and easily locate reviewers that are ready, willing, and able to review your books for you. Become a premium member of AMC now by visiting www.authormarketingclub.com and get instant access to this tool and more.
Hey, Clark.
Hey, Leslie. How's it going?
It's going. It's going.
That's what I heard. I heard your week's been kind of just all kinds of fun.
All kinds of fun. Yes. All the fun happening here. All right. Enough about that. I want to talk about social issues today because that's not what our podcast is about.
Social issues are a lot of fun to talk about, for sure. I mean, it never divides anybody, you know. They're just so easy conversations to bring up,
right? Religion, politics, all that stuff. Okay. But seriously, our submission this week is tackling some pretty serious social issues, and so we're gonna, you know, talk about that a little bit. But you mentioned our mutual friend Scott King's AmeriGuns and how it tackles social issues.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, his book, which is a political thriller, has gun violence as a main theme in the book. It's not, you know, a book about gun violence, but that's one of the things that's happening in the book that's taking place in these characters' lives. And one of the most interesting things about editing his book was that he did it so well. Like, I mean, he came at it not throwing it in anyone's face. He had characters that had varying viewpoints, and he didn't, you know, underplay any of them or make them look like caricatures or anything like that. And so now that the book is out, though, he's been receiving hate mail from both sides of the issue, which is actually pretty funny and pretty decent for him as well, because he's handled it in such a way that he didn't come down on one side or the other with saying this is how it should be.
Right. It's such an interesting study, I think. The thing about social issues, and I just listened to the Writing Excuses podcast on this same topic, and the thing that they mentioned was that, you know, social issues, you're kind of tossing the question out. You're not necessarily coming down on one side or another, though your characters might and should, but you're not, you yourself aren't necessarily saying this is right and this is wrong, and that's how it is.
Right, because that's the dangerous way to do it. You know, your book isn't going to be titled Gun Violence Sucks or You Must Throw Away Your Guns or something like that. You know, I mean, it's not coming at you in that direction. Like, that's not what the big focus is. There's something else, and that's what gives the story its ability to engage people. Because, you know, social issues, we all come down on one side or another with things, and we have our own belief system. And if this is one of the interesting things about reading and what makes it so powerful, as opposed to a lot of other story methods. But, you know, like when someone's trying to, we've seen it all through this political season that we just endured, you know, people are trying to sway your opinion. And a lot of times they do that through like listing out facts. Well, this isn't true or that is true, you know. But the thing is that our opinion is still so strong that we take those facts, we just look at it, our opinion, and we dismiss it without taking it seriously at all. What a story will do is allow your reader to get in there, experience a different point of view, breaks down those walls of resistance because they're experiencing this story, and then allows them to maybe even change their mind of what they thought because they're seeing it from a different side and they're connecting to this protagonist or character in the story in a different way than they would a set of facts that were tossed out at them, you know, at a rally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I want to say something more, but you just covered that so well. I guess we should just get to the quote.
I guess we should. this is from Lisa Bonet, and she says, "In a moment of despair, bred of one too many rejections, a wise friend asked me, which is more important to you, to do something about climate change or to be a writer? I didn't have to pause to think. I am a writer, I said. And instantly, I realized I needed to approach the topic differently, not by trying to move other people to some desired end, but by exploring as deeply as I could my own story about being a mother in the dawning age of climate change. This was a story of what it feels like to know that people we love are at risk of something we feel we cannot control. It meant diving deeper to be more honest, more real, and more vulnerable."
Wow. Yeah.
It is a great quote. And, you know, it hits all those notes. Before we dive into the story, you know, my last thought is here, you know, remember, as authors, we have so much tremendous power that we, if we can recognize it, you know, it's great to make a living as an author and as a writer, but you have the ability, if you want to sway the opinions of people and to let them experience a different side of life and to show something new and to reach them in a way that cannot be done in other means.
Yeah, that's a great point. We have, we can, and story is the way we make sense of the world anyway. And so when we're exploring these issues within a story, it's particularly powerful. Yeah. All right. Well, on to the submission then. We've got today Doing the Work by Julie Prudhomme. This is a contemporary short story, 1,400 words. It's the entire story. And I believe there's an adult word or two. So if that's not good for everyone present, then you might want to listen later. And so Clark is going to do the honors for us today.
Doing the Work. I am not intimidated by her funky green glasses nor her spiky overbleached hair. "You're in my seat," I repeated. She did not move. Beyond her, through the triple-paned curved window, I noticed the heavy orange gloves of the uniformed ground crew gesturing and moving luggage. I heard the muffled shouts of busy men on a tight schedule. "I didn't think you'd mind," she said. Her hard eyes contradicted her slick pink lipstick smile. "I'm in 13F. I said. Dab of lip gloss, no smile. I flashed my boarding pass at her. "Well," she huffed, bending to retrieve her large purse and a tote, which reminded me, both in size and content, of the trash can under my desk. I backed into the narrow aisle so she could slide out, allowing me access to my window seat. I could hear her muttering as she arranged herself in the aisle seat. "Such a fuss. I'll just move, even though I was already seated. Doesn't bother me a bit." "Excuse me, ma'am," a gentleman interrupted her monologue. "I believe you're in my seat." I hide my grin and pull out a worn paperback as she slid into her assigned middle seat. I carefully tucked my own small designer bag under the seat in front of me, thinking, travel light, travel right. Taking a deep breath, I closed my eyes and felt my shoulders relax. I hated to admit it, but maybe my husband had a point. Maybe I should email a polite KMA to the bureau and open that cross-stitch shop. Better yet, I could cross-stitch Kiss My Ass for My Boss on a lovely navel even weave in bright yellow block letters. That would be a nice touch. Or maybe I should just spend this time with Maeve Binchy's lovely cast of childhood friends. My new neighbor's elbow caught my ribs. "Excuse me," she sneered. She continued to root around in her tote, finally pulling out an entertainment magazine. I took another deep breath and was finding my way back to the gentle breezes and green grass of Ireland when I felt her eyes on me. "Business or pleasure?" "Hmm?" I scrutinized my paperback like a road-weary retiree with the all-day breakfast menu at Cracker Barrel. "Are you traveling on business or pleasure?" she asked deliberately, clearly addressing someone with an intellectual disability. "Just heading home," I said, still not looking at her. "Please leave me alone. Please find a social skill. Just one. That one that allows you to leave me alone." "Oh, I wish. I'm attending a conference, a very important conference on child abuse." I mentally ticked through the big conferences. Too late for APSAC, too early for Crimes Against Children, not NCAC in Huntsville, headed the wrong way for San Diego. I usually attended all the very important conferences, sometimes as a presenter. "Mm-hmm," I hummed at her. "Maybe if I give her a minimal response, she will lose interest." No such luck. "It will be very exciting this year. Human trafficking," her booming dropped as she confided. "I teach at a university. My focus is child abuse." She glanced to the left, and then she actually craned her head to look up the aisle, then over her shoulder, as if gangs of human traffickers were poised to attack, bent on denying her the academic freedom to reveal their dirty deeds. I kept my face front and my affect blunt. "And what do you do?" she continued. I could have said, "I sell Tupperware," or "I'm a nun," but I turned to meet her frank gaze head on. "I work for a government agency." I waited. 20 years had taught me to expect one of three responses. I could be abruptly dismissed and ignored for the rest of my flight, please God. I could be treated to a 5-minute monologue on the failings of our current president, as if I personally escort him into the Oval every morning. Or I could be presented with a series of increasingly pointed questions until I disclose my position as a child forensic interview specialist with the Federal Bureau of Investigations. I am proud of the work I do, traveling the country to assist in child abuse investigations. I'm the one who actually talks to the children, or more importantly, the children actually talk to me. Apparently, children are more comfortable with a soft-spoken social worker than with an ex-military special agent toting a badass gun and matching attitude. I'm proud of my work, but the commercial sexual exploitation of children and child pornography are not polite airline conversation for most folks. So, occasionally I claim to be a window blind installer with Home Depot. I waited and watched Miss Professor. She sniffed, digesting my revelation. Would I be dismissed, or would we play 20 questions? She suddenly jabbed a bejeweled finger at the cover of her magazine. "Did you watch the Oscars last week? Fabulous year for child abuse." I blinked. No, I did not get the chance. I had been in Amarillo, Texas, interviewing 4 teenage victims who had been scooped up in a raid. They called their trafficker Daddy D as he drove them to oil field sites all the way from Oklahoma City to Midland, Odessa in a tricked out American Eagle luxury coach. 20 years ago, we would have prosecuted these girls as juvenile delinquent prostitutes. Going after the traffickers has been a profound shift, changing how these crimes are investigated and prosecuted and requiring my special skill set. No, I repeated, I didn't get to see the show. Well, this was a big year for awareness. Big. I always tell my students, that is the most important thing. I regarded her over the top of my tortoiseshell reading glasses. Awareness of child abuse. People need to be made aware. That's the most important thing. No, I thought, the most important thing is for people to not have sex with children. A close second is to not build an entire industry around others paying to have sex with children. I let these observations pass through. I suspected class with Miss Professor was strictly lecture, no discussion. "Did you see these movies?" she demanded, pointing again at the scantily clad actress on the magazine cover. "Spotlight won Best Picture, and Room was just wonderful. That girl got Best Actress. Did you see them?" No. The almost naked girl in the picture did not look much older than the girls I had just interviewed. What did we expect? I avoid movies and TV shows about the victimization of children. I hate CSI kiddie porn or whatever it's called. They need better consultants. Do you know, some dumbass defense attorney asked me on the witness stand in federal court why I did not question the children like they do on that special crime show? Because this is real life. Because our protocols are based on the latest research and a solid understanding of child development. Idiot. My psychiatrist has an opinion about my experiences with dumbasses and idiots. Ah, so much of the anger, the displaced anger. This is the compassion fatigue. She actually has the soft drawl of a graduate of the Medical University of South Carolina, but I like to pretend she speaks with an Austrian accent. Makes me feel like I'm getting more bang for my $150 an hour. She also has a few things to say about my avoidance of certain television shows and the fact that my children are never allowed to spend the night with friends, ever. If you choose to do this work, it will change you. No shit, Sherlock. I never used to cuss. No, I don't like movies about child abuse. Her eyes widened, her mouth forming a perfect offended little O. Well, I guess we can't all stick our heads in the sand and pretend it's not happening. Some of us choose to be aware and stay abreast of what's happening in our world. She snapped open her magazine and arched her neck as she turned to her reading. I recalled the commendation letter in my bag, crumpled, creased. I meant to get it framed, but I kept forgetting. 20 years of service, interviewing some 2,300 child victims or witnesses, helping them understand the criminal justice process, helping them understand the importance of telling the truth, the importance of trusting me with the worst thing they had ever experienced or seen. Sure, you be aware. I'll just keep doing the work.
Okay. Thanks for that. I'm struck by the opening of this of this story, because there's some great stuff going on here with the, like, she doesn't say I'm on an airplane. She looks out the window and sees the uniformed ground crew and then we have some really lovely details about the characters, the lip gloss versus the slick pink lipstick smile, the lip gloss with no smile, the cross stitch, there was one other detail that I was, oh, what was it? It was so good, but I'm drawing a blank. It was really, and this is toward the end, the Austrian accent of the psychiatrist, that's right. Yeah, so we've got some really lovely details and kind of a nice setup here.
Yeah, and being able to see this, I mean, it's clear, the character is clear, the opening, anyone who's ever traveled on a flight or has traveled multiple times on flights has certainly run into this experience of someone in your seat or having to be placed by someone who all you want to do is sleep or read your book and all they want to do is talk your ear off. And we certainly have been in that experience, so you can connect with this right away.
Yeah. I think my biggest challenge for this piece is the way that the social issue is handled, and it's such an important issue, and it's so and big and ambitious, you know, I think, to tackle in a short story, and so I want to, you know, I want to offer some suggestions about that, and kind of what we were talking about earlier, that even when we're discussing something, you know, like child abuse and child pornography and those kinds of things, that I should have given a stronger warning at the beginning of this. It occurs to me. Anyway, that this is a really important issue, and that even when we're tackling something like that in the story, that we want to kind of come at it sideways in a way and have a story that's happening, you know, that's kind of juicy and entertaining on some level, that is, you know, that is different from the issue that you're tackling.
Right. And so, like, for instance, in this one, you know, like, it is a short story, so we got to figure out what the story is about, and just the interaction between these two, and then not being able to have the right seat and not being able to get comfortable and not being able to read the book. And we can have a lot more of that set up before we get into any of the other stuff that's happening with the social issue.
Right. I think that this is, it's not a long piece right now. And I don't know what the word count is that the author was aiming for, you know, if it was for submission somewhere or something, if it was a, you know, a tight word count. But I think for, you know, for a short story, generally, there is a lot of room here in which you can, you know, get in there and have a story, you know, that even goes beyond the, hey, you're in my seat and that's really annoying. And hey, you are talking to me when I'm trying to just read my book and escape. Right. And,
yeah.
And that we could get a different conflict, you know, that's a little meatier to kind of go and balance out this other big topic, you know, that's being tackled.
Yeah, because it is a huge topic. And right now that the story comes off very memoir, autobiographical, you know, like someone that this may have been an experience or a culmination of several experiences for the author's life if they happen to be in this field. And you could certainly see something like that. And in fact, I mean, that's one of the things that I noticed right away when I'm reading this, you know, is that there's an issue in here that the protagonist feels that the media doesn't represent the child trafficking and sexual trafficking in a realistic way.
Mm-hmm.
And, but at the same time, the protagonist, even inside their own head, isn't sharing with the reader how that really looks. You know, to say that this isn't how you talk to a child, and why don't you talk to the child like they interview them like they do in the show, instead of us getting to see how that interview really goes and what it's really like, we're just kind of passing over it again. And so we're not even getting to an opposite side of what that would look like if media was treating it the way it really was.
Right. And I think there was something related to that about there are some really great details because and opportunities that the author has included along those lines that I think that could be expanded on or you know used in a similar way and it's the you know the observation about the scantily clad actress.
Mm-hmm.
You know and those details that can be you know can be used to say essentially, you know, to convey the same thing in a story about two women. I mean, it could even be as simple as two women who are, you know, they're both getting on the flight and they sit down and they don't even need to have that conflict in the beginning, but they sit down and they, you know, they disagree about something openly, you know, where the mm-hmm. protagonist is like, you know, saying that's pretty shallow stuff. You know, like just take it head on and or, you know, whatever kind of conflict, you could still have these details that I think would be even stronger in the middle of a story that's more removed from, you know, not necessarily
from the social issue.
From the social issue, yeah, exactly. Like you wouldn't necessarily need to have the professor be that person and you could, you know, just I'm stumbling a little bit here but I guess what I mean is that you don't have that exactly that the story can be pretty separate and you still have these really rich details that mm-hmm. that will reveal and raise questions about how we are in society and ask the question about like why does this happen? Well, mm-hmm. you know, there's lots of reasons or there's lots of things that could certainly be contributing to that sort of thing. And so you can make that point really powerfully that way, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. To be able to get in there and use some different direction and really punch that up. You know, there's a lot of really good things that are going on here. We just need to have a story that's playing out, you know, throughout this and not just a short narrative of her life's history in this work. You know, and when you can identify what that's going to be, a good conflict story on an airplane, you're going to have a lot of fun with it and be able to get in there. And again, like the more engaged you can get the reader into something, whether it's through the fun, snarky, sarcastic character, you know, or something that's happening between a couple of the characters, then they're going to be more apt and ready to get hit by sideways by one of these more hard hitting social issues, you know. I think we've talked about some social issues before in the past, and we were trying to figure out which show that was. I guess it doesn't matter, but you know, there's a couple different ways that you can go at these, you know, that that can end up being quite bad. And I've seen it this last summer. It seemed that everyone wanted to put a transgendered character in their book, and not necessarily because they were trying to tackle issues that deal with people that are transgendered, but because it just seemed to be like a hot topic that people were, you know, throwing out everywhere in the news. And so if you jab that into the middle of a story, it's going to sell. Well, that's not necessarily the case, you know, because if it's done wrong, if you're just taking this and just wedging it in, you're not going to get the character right. And it's going to just be smashing someone in the face, and it's all going to be wrong. And it's not tackling it in the right way. And that's one of the ways, you know, or on the other side, it could become way too weighted with the author's perspective or what side they're trying to represent. And then the other side, like in this particular case, you know, the woman who's got the magazine, and she comes across quite like a caricature of society in general, and how we're seeing that. And we're not getting to see any of her, like, maybe what's the other side of this, and why would someone want to think that everything that they're seeing on television is realistic, and that's the way to increase people's understanding of this issue?
Yeah, I was thinking that it would also be, I think that the protagonist is a great character, and we get some really lovely insight into who she is, but also getting more specific about who she is and how she feels about the issue. I mean, we know how she feels about the issue. So what I'm saying is that, you know, when we talked about this earlier, we were saying that nobody is in favor of child pornography or exploitation of children, except those people, you know, the people who engage in it. So it's a broad issue, and so we have kind of a general treatment here. And so if we kind of got in there and had more specificity about how the protagonist feels, you know, we have her, you know, in her position as the she's an expert in interviewing children, and which is a great position from which to come to kind of educate people via not just the characters in the story, but the reader in general, by sharing the details and the, you know, precisely, you know, where does the expertise come from? Where does the, you know, why did she go into this profession, to begin with? Because that's really heavy and a hard, hard job to do, mm-hmm. I would imagine. And so it doesn't all need to be in there, but knowing a little more depth between these two characters, or a little less polarization, essentially, between the woman who seems kind of, you know, like she doesn't take it seriously, that it's just, oh, this is so, you know, it's on the Oscars, and isn't that so great? And mm-hmm. versus this woman who's really holding it heavily and quite serious about it, but isn't able to reach and convey and educate someone else.
Right. And I really like the idea that she's on board this plane and that she sets it up in a way that she doesn't want to engage with this woman on what she does. And because I can totally understand that, you know, that's probably not something she wants to bring up. But we could see this. The reader wants to know it, though. The reader wants to have those experiences. And this would be an excellent story where we could use flashbacks to go into these stories that are happening in our protagonist's life and why. Mm-hmm. You know, let's get this fully engaged and why we've got stuff that's happening here, and gives us better arguments onto why she thinks, because I think that's the argument here that's being made, is that we're not, that the public is not getting the real picture of what actually is happening.
Right.
And so they're not understanding the seriousness of it. Mm-hmm. And so if we don't take this opportunity to actually show the seriousness of it, then we've missed it. We've missed a great opportunity here.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm also almost wanting some other advice too. Like, is there advice for parents about, you know, about their children and that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Aside from, I got her, I did pick up on the, you know, no sleepovers ever. Yeah. And that kind of thing. But are there other things and that could be kind of woven in where the story is really doing a public service, essentially?
Right. Yeah.
And really getting in there. And so, as you say, like, really show it to us. Like, mm-hmm. how do you talk to children? How, you know, what is wrong with the system? And you know, and show us, and then, and let us reach that conclusion rather than having the character say, oh, this is how poorly it's done.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of just railing against what's going on, let's see some ways to do it. I think, I wish I could remember the name of it. There was a, earlier this year, or it was at the end of last year, a filmmaker asked three families if, you know, they were having difficulty with their children, if he could abduct them, basically, like, for this.
No, sir.
Yeah, no, sir. Not. But, like, the whole purpose was, is like, and he got the permission and they worked together the entire time, like, showing how easy it is to get in onto social media with children today and to mm-hmm. connect with them and to get them to go do something that normally they wouldn't do. And, you know, the parents were there every step of the way, and it was a really kind of eye-opening. And so, like, what are some other things in here that we could talk about that we could help protect our own children? I think that's a great idea, Leslie, you know, to figure out some other things that could be in a story like this that would give us a better perspective of some of the mistakes that we're making, and maybe we're being too naive.
Right. And so I think, you know, we have a lot of suggestions, you know, overall for this story. And I think the biggest thing for me is it's clear that the author really cares about this issue, and that her story could be really powerful and striking a blow for the cause, essentially, and in that way, and so that it could really, you know, as we were talking about earlier, that stories can change people's minds and get people into action and that kind of thing, so that it's really, it's a really great opportunity. She's got a great setup with this, with the story, you know, with the facts and the setup as it is, and that these, you know, these tweaks could really make it stronger and more powerful.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And because you're not going to... The power that you can bring to a story is never going to mean anything if you can't get the audience to read it. And so you know, that's what we're talking about, this sideways hit. You know, you're setting up a different story first and then hitting them. There is one other thing I wanted to mention that's kind of outside of social stuff that's just in this story. And this is just for anybody out there who's using brand name products.
So good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in here we mentioned American Eagle Luxury Coach, which is a brand name motorhome, which, you know, might not be a problem at all to put into a book until you start using it as the sex trafficking brand.
Right.
You know, like brands can get upset about being seen in a negative light. And so you might want to steer away from, you know, using brand names with things that are like in this particular situation, that you don't want to have American Eagle might not want to be associated as the sex trafficking brand.
Right. So. Yeah. And I think that that it's a good point, just generally, even if you're not presenting the brand in a negative light, just to be mindful of it and think about your purpose in including it. Is it, you know, is it necessary? Does it add understanding? Does it, you know, like you might have a character who, for instance, uses a Mac and that says something about her and that kind of thing. But if it's not really necessary to convey that, then I don't generally recommend not including those just because it can be sticky.
Yeah, because depending on where you're at in your career, do you have lawyers on hand to handle, handle this kind of stuff?
And I have a lawyer friend who says, even if you beat the rap, you might not beat the ride. So, you know, that, just that you'd certainly want to. And if there's not a real, if there's not a driving purpose, if it doesn't add anything to the story, then it's just best to kind of avoid that.
Yeah, that was the last thing I wanted to add. So,
it's an excellent point. Excellent point. All right. Well, we have an editorial mission.
Oh, cool.
And it's called "What's Your Question?" So whether we write about social issues or not, they're questions that we tend to explore in our writing. And this week, I want you to look at your body of work. I mean everything. If you write nonfiction in addition to your fiction, throw that in too and look at what are the questions that you tend to circle, that you, you know, that is the questions you explore in your writing, what really fascinates you. And you might have to dig a little, but this will help you find out kind of what is it that you really want to say through your writing, because being aware of that will help you whether, you know, when you're planning, writing, revising, or marketing your work, understanding what it is that kind of lights your fire and fascinates you is a good thing to know.
And the Writership Podcast is brought to you by the good folks at the Author Marketing Club, which you can find at www.authormarketingclub.com. Don't forget, when you become a premium member today, you'll gain access to the new and improved Amazon Reviewer Grabber tool.
Okay, and if you enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher. If you want your 5 pages reviewed, please visit writership.com/submissions. Finally, be sure to check out the Book Editor Show, which Clark hosts with Peter Turley. That's it for episode 85. We'll see you next time on the Writership Podcast.
Ready for Leslie and Clark to help you find the treasure in your manuscript? Submit your pages to writership.org/podcast.